Welcome to Tasting Tuesdays here on the Midday Show, sponsored by Willow Pond Sheep Farm in Gardner, New York, the area's only sheep dairy, selling sheep milk and sheep yogurts. Find out hours and other information at willowpondsheep.com. Also, Taste New York Market at Todd Hill on the Taconic Parkway. Discover a wide array of products sourced regionally in the heart of the Hudson Valley, just 10 miles north of I-84. And the Schwangunk Wine Trail, 14 wineries, cideries, and distilleries offering events, tours, and tastings. Find out more at gunkswine.com. And I'm thrilled. It is one of those nice cases where I get to leave the station and come to a place I passed by countless times. All right, so here I am at the Stissing House, which is a restaurant. I'm talking to the chef de cuisine, David Nathans. And how long has the Stissing House been in operation, roughly?
So the building itself has been, it's one of the oldest, as far as we know, the oldest, longest running, like, tavern, like, food establishment. So the building is from the late 1700s, I think, like, late 1780s, right after the this country was founded. But in this current iteration, Claire took it over about 3.5, almost 4 years ago.
Who's Claire?
Now. Claire DeBoer is the chef owner. She was also involved with King down in the city. She has since moved on and started Stissing House.
Wow. Yeah, it's been getting a lot of attention, right? The kitchen here?
Yeah, we were number 10 on Food and Wine's top restaurants in America.
That sounds
good.
We had
kind of no idea it was coming.
Yeah, really?
But it definitely put us on some, you know, whatever map it is, it's definitely put us on there. But we've also just got attention from local people and people down in the city will travel up like 2.5 hours just to eat and then go back.
Oh, sure. So. Right? Yeah. I wonder the typical foodie, like what... You know, the distance that they kind of call it, you know, cut off. But people travel to other countries just to have food experiences.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe a couple of months ago, I had talked to somebody sitting at the bar, and they had planned a trip from L.A. They came all the way from L.A. and planned a trip around eating here, which is pretty cool. It's a lot of pressure, but it's really cool. It's like...
Right.
It's neat to have to perform up to those expectations, and I think we very much do.
Yeah, I was going to say, regardless, that should be the bar, right?
Yeah.
Where if somebody's sitting there who's traveled, whether you know they're there or not, right? That's kind of the crowd. You want to please everybody as though they just traveled 3,000 miles.
Absolutely.
To get here.
And you know, we try to, you know, we try our best to take care of everybody. Of course, everybody, some people are just, you know, hard to please. But I think even the hard to please people will come in here. And just the way that this building is and, like, when the lights go down and the candles are lit on the table, like, a lot of people... Even if they walk in grouchy for whatever reason, that usually just that is enough to kind of change their mood, which is really cool.
That is cool. Sure. You de-grouch them. I have so many questions, but another question. You're the chef de cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
How does that differ from some other title, for instance, like
so
just chef?
So chef de cuisine, I think it goes, you know, obviously it goes back to like the French brigade system. So the chef de cuisine always has like one person above them, sometimes two. In this case, it's just me and Claire. So Claire kind of has like the be-all final say of like what
the
you know, what words go on the menu, what dishes we're going to put on. But it's become, in the past year and a half, I'm very glad to say that it's become a very much like, you know, both of us put in enough effort, and you know, I come to her with a lot of ideas or she'll come to me, and it's a very give and take. It's not really like a, you know, you have to do what I say matter what.
You're both vested in this principle that it's all about the kitchen, it's all about the restaurant and what serves that, right? So it succeeds and people keep coming back
and you know, one of the biggest things I think that I had to work on, just I think what restaurants struggle with in general is just like consistency. It's like if someone comes in and has, I know, so the chicken is one of the dishes that kind of doesn't change on the menu, but if you come in a year ago and have the chicken and a year, you know, you come in now, it's like it should be the same. And
yeah,
and we've worked a lot on that together and kind of the systems, and
right,
it's been a lot of fun. Like, running a restaurant is so much more than just cooking the food.
Another phenomenon that New Yorkers like you and I encounter with a success of a restaurant, all of a sudden it's hot. you know, right? The restaurant is just
especially this day and age of like social media and
they can't grow fast enough to meet the expectations, you know, in a lot of cases. So you go back and then the service isn't quite what you experienced the last time, or, you know, the quality all around and all that. But it's great that you guys are obviously putting a lot of thought into how to maintain all that stuff.
I'm pretty proud to say that I think we do a really good job with everyone every time. We get just as many comments about how great our service is as also the food.
Yeah, right. And that means a lot to people.
And service is really important. You know, I think if for some reason, like maybe a piece of steak is under seasoned or something, or or something's not hot enough, like the server or a manager or whoever can come in and kind of like make that not matter. And vice versa. You know? So it's important that restaurants have strong both. And I think we have strong both service and food. So they can help each other.
I'm talking to David Nathans, who is the chef de cuisine here at the Stissing House in Pine Plains, New York. So tell me a little bit about you, David. Like, what's your background? Did you go to food school?
I went to food school. I graduated the Hyde Park CIA. I went there, I think it's almost 14 years now, before it became really cool. They've like added a brewery since, which is kind of fun. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I've been working in the city. I worked at places like the Breslin before it closed. I worked most recently with Charlie Bird and Pasquale Jones, that group. One day me and Claire just got connected through a mutual friend. We spent 2 hours talking on a bench in Soho, and I reluctantly dragged my wife up here, and she likes it now, but...
Okay. So you're now up here full-time?
Yep. I live in Hudson.
You live in... Oh, I'm right across the river in Athens.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you guys are up here full-time, I guess.
Up here full-time.
This is a very demanding job, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think one of the biggest things of moving out of the city is kind of like changing the chef lifestyle. Like, you know, staying out till 4 a.m. or working until 2 at least. And it's very much the opposite up here. You know, yes, the days are long, but... You know, we're closed for 2 days, and we don't really do anything on those 2 days. Like, we won't open for special occasions or anything. So,
What time do you typically get out of here? Like, on a weekend?
Me, personally, 8 or 9.
Nine in the evening, you can go home?
Yeah, as long as it's calm, but sometimes if it's a little bit. And then the cooks, you know, they're here till like 11, maybe.
Okay.
It's not a very late restaurant. We're very fortunate.
The majority of your work is prepping for
I'll come in around like 10. Like, it's still a 12 hour day, but I'll come in around 10, do some prep, help out with menu changes, do some admin, and then stay for some hours of service and help on the line or talk to some guests coming in if there's like a VIP coming in or some friends of mine. But it's very much like the best of both worlds.
What is your favorite, or what dish are you most excited about right at the moment?
I can't narrow it. It's got to be top two.
Okay,
but
do it. Yeah,
one
two.
Of them is an two. Appetizer we have. It's a kind of vadivant curry like seafood stew. It has cockles and mussels and little pieces of squid and shrimp, and we're about to add little pieces of halibut to it. It's very, very like lightly cooked.
Yeah.
Perfectly like seasoned. The curry spice is like, it's not hot. It's like kind of mild. It's just a little bit of cream. It's very light.
Okay. Is that considered peasant food?
No, I don't think so. Well,
I don't know. It used to be
back in
like
the day, shellfish and stuff like that. I mean, like fisherman stew and things like that. Like, that's based off of like kind of the scraps that they had. I mean, I don't know if cockles are always considered scraps because they're very like.
Are they hot? Because you always hear about hot cockles, but I don't know what that is. I never
I don't
really
know
understood.
What that is cockle. Okay.
What's your other favorite? You mentioned
the other favorite we have is actually it's a wood fired mackerel. We take mackerel, the head off and gut it, and we dry it for probably a couple of days, 2-3 days, so the skin gets really dry, so that when we put it up to the back of the oven against the fire, it like bubbles like pizza skin. Like, whenever I'm describing how to make this dish, it's like you got to make sure the mackerel has like pizza skin, like bubbles, and
I see.
And then the little dips will like hold a little bit of the mackerel oil, and it's like really juicy. And then underneath it is just a really, really simple herb sauce, mostly parsley.
Yeah.
But it's just like bright green. So it's like the mackerel and the green sauce on the plate. It's very simple. It's a little Frenchy, mm-hmm, I think, mm-hmm, for originally kind of what the food that we do here is for, like what it is. But I think having something on the menu like that, just really clean and simple, is really nice. And it's just, it's so good.
And I'm assuming reservations are recommended, or
yeah, reservations, right, are absolutely recommended.
Right. We don't just probably not like going to have a success if you just stop by at 7. So
we
do. 7 o'clock.
We have a bar of about 12 seats, yeah, that we keep for walk-ins. Right. If you want to come in and you don't have a reservation on like a Friday or Saturday, just show up at 5 o'clock. More than likely to get a seat at the bar. If mm-hmm. not, middle of the night is a good walk-in time. But yeah, reservations. We book on Resi 30 days out.
Yeah, so that's recommended. Where people go, did you just mention where people?
You can use book it on Resi.
Is that an app?
Yeah, Resi.com.
I know.
Or,
you don't have to tell me.
App.
I know. Yeah. It's on my phone. You know?
You can also call. Okay. You know, later in the day.
And there's a website or an Instagram.
We have. Yeah. Also, I think it's just sissinghouse.com. I should probably know that.
Yeah. A simple Google search. You'll have some success, I'm sure. David Nathans is the chef de cuisine here at the Stissing House in Pine Plains. Thank you so much for coming on
Absolutely.
Tasting Tuesday. Let's do it
My
again.
Problem. Yeah.
All right. When something you have new menu
changes,
any,
and yeah, you know, we have some things, some events coming up that we can also
excellent.
Look on our website.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it. I love it.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much. This is 98.1 KZE.